The Old Testament reading for the 25th Sunday after Pentecost is from Zephaniah chapter 1. Be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is near. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice and consecrated his guests. And on the day of the Lord's sacrifice, I will punish the officials and the king's sons and all who array themselves in foreign attire. On that day, I will punish everyone who leaps over the threshold and those who fill their master's house with violence and fraud. On that day, declares the Lord, a cry will be heard from the fish gate, a wail from the second quarter, a loud crash from the hills. Wail, O inhabitants of the Mordor, for all the traders are no more. All who weigh out silver are cut off. At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the men who are complacent, those who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do ill. Their goods shall be plundered, their houses laid waste. Though they build houses, they shall not inhabit them. Though they plant vineyards, they shall not drink wine from them. The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty man cries aloud there. A day of wrath is that day, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet blast and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Jesus said, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. He who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I've made 5 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I've made 2 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the one talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid. I went and hid your talent in the ground, and here now you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sowed, and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him. Give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text is Matthew 25, 14 to 30. The sermon title is Using the Gospel. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, my grandpa, John Richard Noland, was a man of keen insight and few words. I did not see him often since he and Grandma Noland lived in Joplin, Missouri, while my parents and I lived in San Jose, California. One year, and I think it was the only time, Grandma and Grandpa came out to visit the West Coast and us. I remember us all climbing into the Ford station wagon and heading over the hill to Big Basin Redwoods State Park. We all walked along the Loop Nature Trail near the visitor center. At the first redwood tree, Grandpa stopped and eyed the tree from bottom to top, slowly like this. When my dad asked him what he thought, Grandpa said, Well, they don't have any trees like that in Kansas City. Like I said, few words. Grandpa's economic philosophy was also short and to the point. He once said, You've got to have money to make money. Think about it. He spoke that from experience. He and Grandma Nolan never had much money or really anything else. What they saved in their early years was wiped out in the Great Depression. Grandpa was a lead and zinc miner, and those were bad years for that industry. During World War II, he had lots of work, but prices were so high then for most things that his pay didn't go very far. After the war, the mining industry collapsed and work was intermittent. Grandma started working as a cook for the Joplin schools, while Grandpa took up farming small plots of land. They finally saved enough money to buy a very small house in town in retirement in the 1960s. Grandma and Grandpa never had much money, but what they had, they used carefully and frugally. In our gospel lesson this morning, Jesus tells a parable about using money carefully and frugally. Well, that at least is its literal meaning. Is it really about your personal budget? Well, we'll determine its spiritual meaning a bit later. But here's the story. It starts with a man of some means who decides to travel to a far country. You know, some of you have done that for a couple weeks, maybe longer. This was a long trip. Before leaving, he took a good portion of money out of his treasury and gave it to 3 servants to make a profit. He gave 1 servant 5 talents, another 2 talents, and the last one 1 talent. Now, what was a talent? In those days, a talent was a unit of weight for silver. In our measures, a talent is about 130 pounds, or 58,864 grams. So if you do the calculations, in current values of silver, that means one talent is worth $45,325. Two talents are worth $90,650, and five talents are worth $226,625. So just with one talent in today's market, you could buy a brand new 2023 Chevrolet Silverado 1500. One talent. And quite a bit more if you had the five. Now you have to put yourself into the shoes of those servants. Let's say you had roughly $45,091 or $227,000 to use for business purposes, not your personal income, but to make money out of. So how would you use that money? Well, you could purchase land someplace and farm it for a couple of years. You could purchase in a city or town housing and rent it out. You could start a small business with the $45,000 and more sizable businesses with the others. If you were too lazy to work, you could invest it with money managers or bankers and then receive interest compounded regularly. And even with one talent's worth, $45,000, you could still make a decent return even in these years of lean interest. Now that you understand the business side of this parable, how many of you would take $45,000 and hide it in a mattress for 10 years? Now, you'd rightly say, what a waste. That's not using the money at all. Now you can see why the master got so angry. It was not pocket change. He could have done something with it. The servant would not have hidden that amount of money away if it was his own. He only neglected to use the $45,000 because it belonged to his master. It wasn't his own money. He didn't really care about his master's orders, and he maybe didn't expect the master to return. So when the master did return, the bad servant got what was coming to him. Jesus tells the parable to an audience who all understand that. Nobody pitied the servant that just got one talent. The servant who didn't use that one talent was what my grandpa Nolan used to call a, quote, good for nothing, because he had the goods and it produced nothing, a good for nothing. Okay, that's the parable just as it stands, the story, the business principles behind it. Now what's the spiritual meaning or interpretation? The master is usually understood to be Jesus because he left the earth and he's going to return. The servants are usually understood to be Jesus' disciples or Christians, any and all Christians. And that part is easy. The difficult part of interpretation is figuring out what do these talents represent. Now, they should not be confused with what is called a talent in English language. When we talk about talents today, we mean a skill or aptitude. Now, it is true that God bestows such gifts upon his children, but that's not what this parable's talents is referring to. So we have to think, what does the talent refer to in this parable? So here's a question or a riddle. What does the Christian church have that was given to it by Jesus? What did Jesus give to individuals in the church? maybe in different proportions. What continues to belong to God and Jesus today, even though Christians use it today? What does Jesus expect to find more of when he returns? Because many Christians have used it profitably and properly. And what will disappoint Jesus when he returns and finds that some Christians have not used it at all? You use that grid, there's really only one thing that fits it well, and the answer is the gospel. By this, I don't mean the gospel in the narrow sense, that is, the forgiveness of sins, although that's part of it. I mean the gospel in the wide sense. For example, as it is defined in the Small Called Articles of Martin Luther. Luther writes in the Small Called Articles, and here he defines the gospel, quote, Jesus Christ, our God and Lord, was put to death for our trespasses and raised again for our justification. Since all have sinned, they are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, by his blood. This gospel offers counsel and help against sin in more than one way, for God is surpassingly rich in his grace. First, through the spoken word, by which the forgiveness of sins is preached to the whole world. Second, through baptism. Third, through the holy sacrament of our Lord. Fourth, through the power of the keys. And finally, through the mutual conversation and consolation of brethren, that is, where two or three are gathered together, Matthew 18:20. So far, Luther. The class might recognize means of grace in there. You remember? Means of grace. That's the gospel. The gospel is the great and valuable talent which every believer has received from Jesus, and which Jesus distributed to his church, not just to the apostles, to the whole church upon his departure. Even the person who has received one talent, that is just the basics, has received a great treasure. The person with one talent, and here's just an example, may be the child or adult who's only baptized, taught the small catechism by the church, and is confirmed. It's just the basics, but it's a great treasure. The person with two talents is the youth who has all of this, plus a loving Christian home, where all these things are also taught and practiced. The person with five talents is the youth who has all of that, baptized, taught the small catechism, confirmed, loving Christian parents, siblings, but they're also surrounded by Christian relatives, a congregation filled with faithful Christians and faithful youth of their age, who reads the Bible daily and is taught every scriptural protection against the devil, the world, and our flesh, a very rich way to raise youth and children. And when they grow to adults, they have those five talents. It's a gift of God and the church to them. Now, this gospel continues to belong to Jesus, even though Christians continue to use it today. It doesn't belong to us, except in the sense that he gave it to us for our use. We can't change it. It's the way God gave it. But the more we use it, the more it grows, both for us personally and for others. Now, the only way the gospel will not grow is if we don't use it at all. It's like those cases of young people who I remember, I was confirmed with them, who then said, well, I'm confirmed. That's that. I'm guaranteed eternal life. And this certificate proves it. Then, you never see them again in church, except for their wedding and their funeral. And when Jesus returns, he will ask them, well, what have you done with the gospel that I gave to you. Then they'll pull out a little shoebox with their little certificate and say to Jesus, look, my confirmation certificate, I saved it just for you, Jesus. So what does the gospel lesson say to them? It's not a very pretty picture. It's not all about this. It's about the gospel that we use on a daily basis and that we share. Now, Jesus does not say here or anywhere else that you must become a missionary, do great works of evangelism, or live the perfect Christian life. All that you need to do is use the gospel that Jesus gave to you for yourself, if for nobody else. Use the gospel by receiving the Lord's Supper and the absolution and receiving it in faith. Use the gospel by hearing and digesting and thinking about the preaching that you hear. Use the gospel by reading and pondering the Word of God on your own. You have the Bibles in your house. Read it. Use the gospel by joining Christians where two or three are gathered together, here in church and elsewhere. Use the gospel. Don't put it on a shelf or in a box. Use the gospel and you will eternally please Jesus, your master, and you will benefit too. In Jesus' name, amen.